Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Here's the show. Hi, good evening. This is Jane Hoffman from Blog Talk Radio. We've been on the air now 6 years, 2.5 years with John and Don, and 3.5 years with Ernest. I'm going to read a Bible verse for us that pertains to this year's election and also the turbulence in America at this time, Acts 2:17. In the last day, God says, the last days, God says, pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I'm going to stop there. Now, really, when you think about it, man's bad choices and faulty perception led man to killing the Savior of the world. Why? Because man was short-sighted. In the same way, we see Donald Trump and his haughtiness throughout the years, and perhaps maybe he has changed with some regret, even though he hates to admit it, with his false pride and his haughtiness. He treated women like objects or something to be conquered. In his own desperation, he really probably doesn't even really know why he wants to be president. It was an instinctual desire that he just jumped on, and it became a real thing for him. And it's symbolic of the pain and suffering of the world, what we're going through now, people with false morals, ideals, and values. With that, I am going to find the clip on Yahoo, which explains why a certain segment of evangelicals are turned off by him. And people think that all the evangelicals are supporting Donald Trump, but that's simply not true. They are not all supporting him. So in between the time that I'm going to do that, I'm going to play one of John's songs. Here we go.
Gave me, it will go on. Burn
I'm back on the show. John might be calling in, and John is at an NAACP banquet. So if they don't call in by midnight, I may only do a 30-minute broadcast. Now, 2 Timothy has something to say about leadership, and I'm going to read it to you before I get into the Huffington Post article about evangelicals. 1 Timothy 3:2, that's 1 Timothy 3:2, says, therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. This is what I know in this particular verse they're talking about church leadership, but let's just repeat those comments. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Donald Trump has demonstrated that he does not have control over himself with women. He said during the 2005 video that if he sees an attractive woman, he's like a magnet. He can't help himself. And that's, you know, the visual simulation of a woman is one thing. You can admire a woman for her beauty, but you don't walk up to strangers and kiss them. You know, he mentioned a woman in one video that he did not succeed with, that he even took furniture shopping with. I don't know, it's just messed up in my mind. You know, I'm not like this perfectly controlled, judgmental Christian. There's two or three things that really turned me off about him, even with his personality flaws. The first thing is that he did not have a constructive knowledge of government, how it works, in making agendas. Because I have a 2 degrees in political science, a bachelor's in public administration, and a master's in political science, I'm turned off by someone who cannot formulate or articulate policy agendas. The other thing I don't like about him is he's always attacking his opponents without trying to just produce on his own what he's really capable of. I would even be more satisfied if he was copying from Hillary Clinton's playbook, but he doesn't even do that. He just mentions the same old trickle-down economics, tax breaks for the rich. He hasn't, it's not a popularity contest. So I'm going to read this article from the Huff Post, and there was a good thing on Yahoo last week about evangelicals, how a certain segment of them are not going to support Donald Trump, and the reasons why is because his moral character and fiber and the nature of his leadership was not satisfactory to them. And any blatant person can see that. So nearly 100 evangelical leaders have signed onto a letter urging their follower or fellow Christians to vote against Republican nominee Donald Trump, who they write has fueled white American nationalism with xenophobic appeals and religious intolerance at the expense of gospel values, democratic principles, and important international relationships. The letter was posted to change.org on Thursday and had nearly 5,000 signatures by midday Friday. Now remember, change.org, I believe, might have been Barack Obama's original website. The evangelicals behind the letter do not necessarily endorse Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, they write, but they are united in their opposition to Trump, who is working to maintain the Republican stronghold on the evangelical community. Imperfect elections and flawed candidates often make for complicated and difficult choices for Christians, the letter reads. But sometimes historic moments arise when more is at stake than partisan politics, When the meaning and integrity of our faith hangs in the balance, this is one of these moments. Now, I want to interject for a minute the demonstrative difference between Tim Kaine and Mike Pence. I did not like how Tim Kaine behaved on the attack to Mike Pence. He could have been more diplomatic. Now, he's a Catholic that formally stated in the first and only VP debate that my personal religious values should not control my destiny on my policy thoughts. What he was trying to impose is that, yes, he's a Christian with Christian viewpoints, but he's looking at a broad-minded perspective of governing, and in his understanding, his Christian values, which are indicated by the Bible, are not necessarily reflective on how people should govern as a whole. In other words, if he's supporting the gay community, he may not be himself gay or even condone people with that choice in life, but he will still not deny them their rights because as United States citizens, they have entitlements. Now, you may not agree with that statement listening to this broadcast, but it's true. With that, I'm going to read the rest of this article. Evangelical voters tend to support Republicans. Former President George W. Bush won 78% of evangelicals in 2004. McCain won 74% and Mitt Romney won 78%. Now, that's a huge number. Trump is likely to win with evangelicals this year, too, polling suggests. The support will probably have much less to do with him personally than with the rhetoric on abortions and his promises to protect Christians in America. Political science professors Paul Goren from the University of Minnesota and Christopher Chapp of St. Olaf College wrote in the Washington Post. Racism is America's original sin. Its brazen use to win elections threatens to reverse real progress on racial equity and set America back. That's what a letter from an evangelical wrote. However, just by witnessing, aside from Donald Trump, America has seen a harsh, deep-cut racism in our police law enforcement and tension with local and urban communities. It's been out of control, and Donald Trump has little to do with that, even though he may have fanned the flames this last 8 or 9 months. The evangelical leaders who signed the change.org letter wrote that they object to the media's representation of evangelicals as mostly white, politically conservative, older men, and that they come from a number of races, ethnicities, denominations, and ages. Trump has performed worse among Black, Latino, and Asian voters than he has with white voters. Trump's efforts to fuel, and the reason for that is, I might add, is because he is a white entitlement person. Trump's efforts to fuel the birther movement, which claims President Barack Obama, the nation's first Black president, was not born in the U.S., among his statements on Mexicans, immigrants, and Muslims inspired their opposition, the leaders wrote. Most evangelicals support immigration reform that would allow some undocumented immigrants to stay in the United States, and faith groups that have been active in advocating welcoming refugees, including immigrants and refugees, and those who are from Jesus calls the stranger in Matthew 25. Where he says that how we treat them is how we treat him. Because we believe that racial bigotry has been the cornerstone of this campaign, it is a foundational matter of the gospel for us in this election and not just another issue, they wrote. This is not just a social problem, but a fundamental wrong. Racism is America's original sin. Its brazen use to win elections threatens to reverse real progress on racial equity and set America back. Editor's note, Donald Trump regularly incites political violence and is a serial liar, rampant, xenophobic, racist, misogynist, and birther who has repeatedly pledged to ban all Muslims, 1.6 million members of an entire religion, from entering the United States. And by the way, Islam takes up 23% of the world's religions. Christianity is 34%. With that, I'm going to end the show tonight. I'm only doing a 30-minute segment because my co-host could not call in. So I'm going to play this last song. And please have a good night. Tomorrow night we will have an episode following the presidential debate, the second town hall style format. I'm glad you enjoyed the show.